8. Nehemiah chapter 8. God will not let me get off of this subject, okay? We are in some troublesome times, and we need all the comfort and all the strength that God can provide. And tonight I want to preach on celebrating the sources of strength, and it's kind of a phrase study about what the Lord can give is our strength. And we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 8, the first 10 verses. So the text goes like this. It says, "And all the people gathered themselves together in as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." This is what we need to do when we come for corporate worship. We need to come as one person. We need to come to understand the word of the Lord. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Wow. We have a hard time just having 1 hour services, okay? They were doing it from the morning to midday before the men and women and all those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. I hope when you come in to God's house that you're ready to hear, that all distractions are bound, and that you're looking to Jesus and we're looking to the Word. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah and Mishael and Malachiah and Hashem and Hasbadanah, Zechariah and Meshullam. You know, folks, we need to stand one another when the Word of God is presented. We need to stand as one person. We need to encourage one another. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. We need to respect God's Word. We need to respect God's Word. Verse 6, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands." You know, there's nothing wrong with lifting up your hands in church. There's nothing wrong with clapping. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And so they lifted up their hands and bowed their heads and worshiped their Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Benai and Shabiah, Jamin, Akub, Sapathiah, Hajijah, Maaseiah. Boy, wouldn't you like this there, David? Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hadad, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Here's something else that we need to do as Christians. We need to help one another understand what God wants and what God says. That's called discipleship. And if you don't understand something, don't leave here not knowing. Ask somebody. Call somebody. That's how the body of Christ works. And so we have all these people. We have people standing by Him as He's presenting. Then we have people available to help understand what is being preached. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. And folks, that's what we need to read in church. No other book. The book of God. Distinctly. And gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, which is governor, okay? And Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep." Because the people were under conviction. And the Word of God needs to bring conviction. And it says, "For all the people who wept when they heard the words of the law." Then He gave them good news. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. I hope that when you got up this morning, this day is holy to God. You know, every day for us is holy to God. We should be holy. The Bible says, be therefore holy even as He is holy. Neither be ye sorry. And here's the key. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where that little song comes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's where it comes from. It's right here. So Nehemiah, and the whole book of Nehemiah is about building a wall and about restoring order in Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah has led his people to a great victory. The broken wall of Jerusalem was rebuilt in record time. And you know something? Nehemiah wasn't there. Nehemiah wasn't there. If you know the whole story about this, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of the Persian Empire. And he heard what was happening and he acted on it. Folks, how many times do we hear about things that we actually have the ability to do something about it and we do nothing? Nehemiah waited for the proper moment to tell the king. Nehemiah waited and used discretion. We've been studying Proverbs about you. He used the proper words so the king would understand and give him his request. But every time Nehemiah was going to do something, he prayed. Just like David, once he finally came to his senses, he prayed here. And in this situation we talked about this morning. So it was his burden. And you know, we're supposed to bear one another's burdens and what? Fulfill the law of Christ. We're supposed to do the things that God wants us to do. It's our task to do. And now the wall has been repaired. You know how it got done in record time? Everybody got involved. Everybody got involved. And you go read the first part of Nehemiah and see that there were sections of wall that had specific purpose or priority to the people that were living about it. The people had risen above their fears. So this is the whole context. We're once again in a fearful time. And they had a whole bunch of issues. They had been delivered from their adversaries and their labor had been rewarded. You know, when you faithful is he that has begun a good work in you, and he will what? Complete it. And so what we need to do is we just need to hear God's word, and we need to do what we feel led to do by the Holy Spirit and just do it and help each other to do it. And if we don't quite know, ask people, read God's word, pray to God, find out all those things. God will give you the details for this. So Nehemiah has led this, and this is a celebration of the victory. Ezra led the dedication service, and there were shouts of praise lifted up to the Lord in verse 6. It says, and when Ezra blessed the Lord. Folks, everything that God does in our lives, we ought to bless the Lord back. We ought to glorify Him for that. And the people said, and all people answered, said, amen, amen. We're lifting up their hands, and they bowed down, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So there was shouts of praise lifted to the Lord. The people were encouraged to celebrate because God had given them a victory. And each of them had a part in it. They were told to be joyful, not solemn or sad. See, God wants to give us life and life more abundantly. He wants to make our joy to the full. A Christian should be, even in dark times, can still rejoice and still be happy and still rest in the Lord. And so they're told to be joyful, not solemn or sad, and they were to celebrate the source of their strength, which was what? in this case, the joy of the Lord. You know, when something great happens in our life, you know, we might initially praise God for that, but then over time, we tend to lose our remembrance of that. And we can forget and we can forsake. And that could lead to problems later on. So Nehemiah has led his people to a great victory. Ezra led the dedication service. You know, we ought to celebrate our sources of strength, but they all come from the Lord. In Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my what? Everybody say it. My strength. My strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength. In whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. See, if you're looking to other things for your spiritual strength, you're misdirected. There's only one source, is the Lord. Now, there's different ways that you can get strength from the Lord, and we're going to look at these three ways tonight. The first one is that the joy of the Lord provides strength. That was the final message that Ezra gave in this passage. He says, look, he says, go home and celebrate what God's done in your life. We need to celebrate what God does in our life daily. He says, go home, and if you have a neighbor or something doesn't have anything, go fix something. Take them lunch. Take them lunch. But understand this, neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah and his people had faced many obstacles. And we face a lot of obstacles today. We're sitting in here where we don't have all of our seating available. And you know, but that won't stop. That doesn't stop us. Because God's bigger than that. You know, they could have been discouraged. Now, it was interesting if you remember the story when Nehemiah comes from Persia and he comes into Jerusalem. He comes and he surveys the wall by night and he sees the damage. And all the walls have been laying desolate for decades. And people who have been living in the city have been living in this rubble for decades. And here comes a guy and he says, hey, let's fix the wall. We need to fix the wall. You know, Christians, we could have broken walls in our life and be vulnerable spiritually to things. And then slip up and go into things that we shouldn't do, things that we shouldn't do. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, and Judah said, what's this mean? It's just not Judah, a person, it's a whole group of people. They said, look, he said, Nehemiah, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There's a lot of trash to haul out of here. There's a lot of stuff to get. And there is what? Much rubbish. Folks, you know, in our lives, there should be less rubbish tomorrow in our lives than was here today. Because we should be more like Him. It says, so that we are not able to build the wall. You know, oftentimes we come into a situation, God gives us clearly a vision. He says, this is where I want you to go. And then you start, and the task is huge. And you start looking at a whole task instead of the steps to get to the completion of the task. And we don't do anything. Here, they've been sitting there for, what's another couple of decades of having the walls broken down? And so initially, after they said, we start building, hey, this is a pretty big job. Is the arm of the Lord shortened that He cannot save? Is there anything too hard for them, you know, for Him? No. No. And folks, we just need to look at what the next day is. And that's how you walk. We look for the hope, but we live day by day. And we need to have God lead us day by day. They could have become discouraged. They could have compromised with their enemies. When all of a sudden all this progress comes up, all the people from around, all the adversaries come, rather Tobiah and Sabalot, and those guys come in. The first part of chapter 6 talks about them saying, hey, you can't do this. You can't do this. First they mocked him, said, you're incapable of doing this. And then they said, we're not going to legally let you do this. We're going to take matters into our own hands. And it says, for they made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it not be done. And so Nehemiah prayed this. You know, sometimes we just need to pray for one another to be strengthened. And it says, not now therefore, O Lord, strengthen my hands. Nehemiah cries out as the leader. He says, strengthen my hands so I can encourage the people, so we can get doing what you want us to do. You know, people could have been discouraged. There were a lot of adversaries that could have compromised with their enemies. But you know something? I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. This poor man cried, and he heard me, and he delivered me out of all and saved me from all my troubles. And here's a great example here in Nehemiah. So Nehemiah and his people have faced many obstacles, but the joy of the Lord enabled them to keep building. Their faith in the Lord, seeing what needed to be done. They saw God's city in disrepair. And their ancestors were the blame. You know, folks, if we see God's house in spiritual disrepair, it's not God's fault. It's ours. And we need to understand that the joy of the Lord is our strength and come back to Him and follow Him. So the joy of the Lord enabled them to keep building. Next, it says, we ought to be joyful. You know, we ought to be joyful for God's love, grace, and salvation. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, David writes, he says this. He says, but let all those that put their trust in Thee do what? Rejoice. Rejoice. Let them ever, what? Shout for joy. Because Thou defendest them, let them also that love Thy name be what? Joyful in Thee. No, a Christian should be like Tigger and not like Eeyore. Okay? It's not like, oh, woe is me. What's going to happen today? No, see, we can let our fears control us. We can let adversaries control us. We can let things that we think are obstacles control us and say, we just can't do anything. But what we need to do is say, we've got the energy to do it. And God will help us to get through this. So we ought to be joyful for God's love and His grace and His salvation. You know, if you have nothing else in your life, you still have those. And God will never take them away. The joy of the Lord will replenish our strength every day. In the book of Daniel, Daniel is by the river. He's praying because God's given him all these visions. He doesn't understand them. So he starts praying. God, give me understanding. I can't comprehend what this all means. And there's actually spiritual warfare going on. And so God sends an angel. He sends Gabriel. And Michael's fighting this battle. And he says, oh, it said, oh man, what? Now, I want you all to realize this. This is us. Oh man, greatly beloved. We are greatly beloved by God. What? Fear not. When there's news from God, it's ought to be fear not or fear the Lord. Fear not the external stuff, but we need to fear God and respect Him. Peace be unto thee. And then here's the encouragement. Be strong, yea, be strong. See, God knows our infirmities. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched, what? with our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without what? Without sin. Hebrews 4:15. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. So what's God's message? Be strong. Be strong. And what's our response? I am strengthened. I am strengthened. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. I tell you, there's a lot of people I talk to, they're at the end of their rope on this. In my workplace, there have been 3 suicides, people that know it. Some of them are relatives, my co-workers. People are out of sorts and at the end of the rope. And if you're a Christian, you have the joy of the Lord. And that'll be the strength. We can cry out to Him and get His peace. And He's encouraging us, say, be strong, and be strengthened. See, that's what God wants in our lives. Because we're greatly beloved. So the joy of the Lord provides strength. The presence of the Lord provides strength. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 39, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is what? Is of the Lord. He is their what? Their strength in time of trouble. Not only will God hear us and take away our fears, not only will God hear us and deliver us out of problems, out of our troubles, God will be our strength in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble. See, we all go through times of trouble, and no one is immune to that. Here's some encouraging verses from one who knew trouble. Job. Job chapter 5, verse 7, he says this, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. When you build a fire, just as surely as the sparks go up, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble. Later on in Job 14, 1, he says, man that is born of a woman, well, that's all of us, okay? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and what? Not only born unto trouble, you're full of trouble. God knows that. God knows that. But then Christ comes. And He gives us a promise. In John 16:33, it says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. You at the end of your rope with all this junk going on? Seek God's peace. Try God today. Seek Him. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good what? Cheer. I have overcome the world. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. The presence of the Lord provides strength. Because we can see Him act in our lives. You know, we do not face trouble alone. In Matthew 28:20, He says, I will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5, I'll not forsake you. Okay? Isaiah 41, verse 10. God wants to make a deal with you. He wants to make a deal with you. He wants to trade your junk for good stuff. He wants to trade your trouble for triumph. He wants to trade your fears with faith. And we talked about this this was last Sunday night's message. Fear thou not. For what? I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will what? Strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look, there's 3 things in this verse. Actually, 4 things. Fear not. And His presence will what? Strengthen us, help us, and uphold us. And not let us fall. So the presence of the Lord provides strength. C.H. Spurgeon said this, when trouble overthrows the wicked, it only drives the righteous to their strong helper who rejoices to uphold them. So we sing the song, Jesus Knows All About Our Troubles. Okay? So the presence of the Lord provides strength. The promises of the Lord provide strength. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. See, there's a choice. God's got all the stuff out in front of you, and you have a choice to either receive it by faith or reject it in sin. And so, the promise of the Lord provides strength. God's promises are the anchors that we need in the storms that we go through in our life. You know what an anchor does to a ship? It holds it in place so it can weather the storm. And it says, and rest shall ye what? Be saved. That's an anchor. Faithful is he that calleth you, and he will what? Also do it. In quietness and what? Confidence shall be your strength. See, we need to look to God and not do the last four words. So God's promises are strong anchors in life's story. Think of all the promises in the Bible. The promises of salvation, the promises of heaven, the promises of life, the promises of His blessing, the promises of His answers to prayer. Those are all promises. We ought to think on those things. So, be any virtue, to be any praise, think on these things in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. See, think of all the promises that He's given us. That can be a source of strength because hope brings strength. God's promises bring strength in times of waiting. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. That's really tough to do in today's instant world. I want it, and I want it now. Okay? That doesn't work with God. We need to rest on Him and wait patiently for Him and not fret of ourselves, of fret of the evildoers that are out there. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of what? Be of good courage. And if you wait on God and you trust in Him to do what He says He's going to do based on His promises, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Strengthen thy heart. And so I leave you with this thought. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God knows there is an end to all of this. Okay? There is an end to all of this. The question here, do you have a promise from God that gives you strength in troubling times? Could you think of one now? I've given you several. But if you don't, you need to open up God's Word and search it out and be a student of God's Word and find what He has promised His people. Because He will answer us. He will give us strength. He will let us run and not be weary. And we'll walk and not faint. Tonight, we need to celebrate our sources of strength. Do you have God's strength in your life? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight. I pray that they would ask for forgiveness of sins, realize what you did on the cross was for them, that you rose again, and that you sit in heaven offering the free gift of salvation to all who believe. But Father, in these times, help us, Lord, not to forget all the things about strength. That it's your joy that brings strength. It's your presence that brings strength. It's your promises that bring strength. Help us, Lord, to rest on those promises and wait on you. Father, I ask that you bind Satan on behalf of each one of us. That you help us stay focused in our minds. And that we be transformed into the people that you want us to be. The servants that you could use. The vessels of honor. Lord, help us tonight in this time. Help us, Lord, to make a decision for you and leave here changed, not like we came in. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.